And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and in this special episode, I'll be once again talking to Ryan O'Donovan, who writes about Fulham for Get West London. I'll be asking Ryan to share his thoughts on the last preseason friendly for Fulham, which was a 3-0 loss against Wolfsburg. On top of that, I will ask Ryan to share what he observed after the match with Slavisa Jokanovic. After that, Ryan will share his thoughts on the player additions for Fulham, along with the players that have left the club. Later on, we'll take another look at Ryan's top three positions of need for Fulham that he spoke to us at the beginning of preseason. Lastly, we'll finish up with Ryan discussing his thoughts on the first match of the season for Fulham against Norwich City. We have much to discuss before I do anything. I have to welcome Ryan back to the show. Ryan, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I am doing well. Listen, I hope you're doing better. We actually were hoping to do this last week, but you were not feeling well. So most importantly, I hope you're feeling all right.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit better now. I had to get back for that game on Saturday, you know, the first one I could go to all preseason. I couldn't miss that.
Absolutely. You were there. And I look forward to getting your thoughts on that. And obviously the players that have come into Fulham, definitely want to touch on that. The players that have left also want to get to your predictions. I saw your predictions today. We'll end the show with your predictions, your top three, and also your top three teams that you see as being relegated. So we'll end with your predictions, but let's start with Saturday. You were at this Wolfsburg match. We're going to start there. Just give me your overall thoughts on this friendly for Fulham.
So, yeah, you know, it's their last preseason before the season starts. So you'd be expecting them to be pretty much up to scratch for what you would expect against Norwich. But I didn't really get that feeling from it. I thought, apart from the first 20, 30 minutes where I thought Fulham did look good, I thought they allowed Wolfsburg too much possession in the game and they sat off them a lot. And although Johansson was carrying on his midfield engine where he was chasing things, I felt there was a bit of lethargism in the team, and they didn't just quite look like they were playing their last preseason friendly. It just looked a bit off to me.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I had someone message me who was down there that he thought that Fulham really missed Tom Kearney and Kevin McDonald in this game. That really was the issue, especially in the first half. Well, do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, we all know what midfield partnership those three have, and we all know how good it is when they're playing. So we saw at the end of last season, I think when Johansson was missing, it didn't quite work in that midfield. So to have two of them missing is just recipe for disaster in that midfield. And although Ibrahim Asise came in, and I thought he did very, very well, you know, he controlled that midfield and he put himself about a bit. When you're missing people like Kevin McDonald and Tom Ken, your team's going to suffer. And Stefan Johansson didn't look the exact same player that he looked playing with those three. So I think those two were a big miss, and hopefully they're going to be all right for this weekend. And if it was a case of they sit out against Wolfsburg and they'll be all right for Norwich, and I think you had to sit them out. There's no point taking the risk with them.
Absolutely. If they were dealing with any type of injury, I think Slavisa did the right thing by not playing them against Wolfsburg and saving them for the opener. Let's hope that they'll be ready to go. Well, let me ask you about another player that I'm curious about, and that's Oliver Norwood. I think he could be a very good signing for Fulham. How did he fare in his first match with Fulham?
Yeah, well, I was very, very impressed with Norwood. We do our player ratings. I'm sure some of you have seen that we do these player ratings. We started doing them at half-time and full-time. And at half-time, he'd been putting himself about. He'd played a few nice balls, and he had that look of class about him. And then towards the end of the second period, I thought, yeah, This guy's a good player. He's a good signing. He fits the Fulham mold in that he's very technical on the ball. He's very good with the football at his feet, and his movement and his eye for a pass is there. So I think having that depth in midfield was lacking last season. I think if the wheels had come off a bit in terms of injuries, I think Fulham would have struggled. Luckily, it didn't. But this season, they needed that depth in midfield, and I think they've got that with Cissé and Norwood, and they both look very, very good players.
What's interesting is that I believe Cissé is more of a defensive midfielder, Ryan, but I've been reading a good deal and watching video and obviously just saw the bit highlights from the friendly. Everything I'm reading is that Norwood can actually play all midfield, all those midfield three positions. So is that something that you think Savic is going to use at times, maybe to get some rest for some of those midfield three, because they played so many games together. So having a player like Norwood with that ability to play all those three positions has to be a huge benefit for the team.
Oh yeah, it's massive for the team. And you've got to think, there's 46 games in a normal season. Those three players of Kearney, Johansson and McDonald, if they start every single one of those games, they're A, going to be extremely tired by the end of it, and B, extremely lucky not to have any injuries. So I think the recruitment team have looked at it and said, right, we need more depth there. We're going to bring in someone that can play all the positions there. We're going to kill two birds with one stone type of thing. We'll bring in Norwood. He's good on the ball. He can tackle. He can move. He's got an eye. He can read the game well. I think he's going to be a very, very good signing for Fulham. One of their best, if I'm honest.
Okay. Listen, the second half, you know, I'm listening to it and I've seen some of the highlights, but you were there. It seemed like a good portion of the second half, Fulham played fairly well. We're dictating the play based on what I was listening to and some of the highlights. Is that what you saw? And then obviously they get the two later goals and the match is out of reach. But the second half seemed to start better for Fulham.
Again, it started better like the first half, and they came out and they looked to play. But once Wolfsburg got their foot on the ball, they looked a bit fitter than Fulham, I have to say. They looked like they were able to just pass it about, like play through the gears type thing. And Fulham didn't really seem to be able to do that. So Wolfsburg looked a very fit side, and they looked like they were strong in the tackle. And they just ground it down. And when you've got players like Mario Gomez in that team, you know, they're going to score goals. So at least it was only a pre-season friendly. I wouldn't be too concerned about the result, because at the end of the day, it's a friendly. The main thing is getting them through it, getting right. That fitness level up, ready for next week. But yeah, again, as the half went on, Wolfsburg did look the better team and the fitter team to me. And you could tell that by the three goals.
Absolutely there, my friend. Okay, very good. One last thing about the actual match. I want to ask you about Marcus Bettinelli. He went off injured. What did you see here?
Yeah, so it looked like he went down holding his hamstring, and I was worried that it was going to be like a hamstring injury, a tear or a strain or something like that. And if you're looking at hamstring injury for a goalkeeper or any footballer, you're in trouble. So obviously, another pre-season friendly, there's no need to take a risk with him. So he came off, and we asked Slavica after the game how he was, and he said that it was a precaution. Marcus Bettinelli was a bit worried about it, but so he came off. But he should be all right for Saturday, and I hope he is, because I think he's Fulham's first choice keeper at the moment.
I agree with you, and I really hope that Betts is okay. And what were your thoughts about Button after he came in for Bettinelli?
I think Button, it's a hard one with Button, because he's a confidence player and he can tell the crowd aren't confident with him, and that breeds into himself. So every time he gets the ball, there's an air around the cottage thinking, oh, what's going to happen here? Is he going to get the ball taken off him? And that transfers down to David Button's playing on the football. I think he's a good goalkeeper. I've seen him at Brentford. I've seen him elsewhere. He is a good goalkeeper, but he's a confidence player. And if he hasn't got the confidence of the fans or the manager, then he's not got the confidence himself. And I think that's been clear this pre-season. I don't think he's particularly happy at Fulham, to be honest. He doesn't look happy from his body language. So, you know, it's showing on the pitch that he's not happy and he's not confident in himself. And that was clear again when he lost the ball to Mario Gomez in a similar vein to the one he lost against West Ham when they scored.
Oh, boy, that was terrible. All right there, my friend. All right, let's now move on to after the match. We have to talk about this. Let's talk about Slavica. You were able to talk to him after the match. And actually, I think you have the full commentary that you put on Get West London. So please check out your article about what he had to say. But I just want your view about this, and then we could talk about it.
Yeah, so, you know, after the game, you get the normal questions about transfers and stuff like that. And Djukanovic, he said what he said. He said his list is ignored and stuff like that. But I felt what he said is nothing new. We already know that Tony Craig is pretty much in charge of transfers, and Djukanovic is, after all, he is the head coach. He's not the manager. So we all know from last season as well how little say Djukanovic has on transfer. So I don't think there was anything new in that interview. I don't think there was anything really explosive in that interview. There's nothing new we gained from it. We just know again that Klein and Tony Khan are putting it on themselves to bring these players in. And we've known that before. I think what the main thing we learned from that is that there's been bids for Aluko.
Right.
Johnny Aluko. And I think that's the big thing in there, that the club will be, they want to keep him. We know we've been told they want to keep him, and they're looking at extending his contract. And Djukanovic wants to keep him. I think that's the main thing we could take from that interview, was how much Djukanovic rates Sione Aluko and how badly he wants to keep him. Because there was no direct question asked about Sione Aluko. It was, I think you could have asked Djukanovic about the weather and he would have spoke about Sione Aluko that day. He said it completely off his own back. And I think it's a power play from Djukanovic. He's always used the media to get his message across.
Yep.
And it's no different at Fulham. he's used it last season, and he's used us the game this season to get his message across. So I don't think it was explosive. I don't think there's anything really new we learned from it. It's the same as it's always been. Djukanovic has little say, and the power of transfers is with the recruitment department.
Listen, I'm right there with you. It's funny. We just did a show, and I was talking about wake-up calls, that the Wolfsburg match was a wake-up call for everyone involved with Fulham Football Club. We're talking about the players. We're talking about Tony Khan, Craig Klein, everyone. With the board, Slavisa, it's a wake-up call. But I think, the way that you just said it, I think this was a message that he was trying to get across to Tony Khan. I think it was trying to give them a wake-up call. Hey, I need players. And I need to keep my key players. I think this is something, for whatever reason, he likes to use the media to get his message across.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's a, look, lads, I need players, I need depth, and I need quality. Go and get me it. I don't think it was I don't have any say on it. I think he's coming to accept that. He knows that's what the job he took on. We saw it last summer. We saw it in the winter. We've seen it again this summer. So I think it was more of a, look, lads, back me. I need the players. You need to bring in these players, and you need to keep my best players in order for us to succeed.
Okay, very good. All right, before we move on, like we mentioned during talking about this match, the injuries, Niskanen, Cabano, Tom Kearney, and Kevin McDonald. While you were there, were you hearing anything about their injuries? Did Slavisa go into any more detail about their injuries?
He didn't go into any specific details about his injuries, and you would expect that a week before the season starts. You don't want to give anything away. All he said was he didn't want to risk them, and he's hoping that they're back for Norwich.
Okay, well, let's hope that they are, my friend. All right. Okay, let's now go through player signings and player departures. Let's start with the signings. We have to talk about the one that happened yesterday. I have to be honest with you. Again, on Cottage Talk, I've said Fulham need a striker badly. We'll be talking about your three positions in need. We're going to be looking at that in a second. I'm glad to say that they have signed a striker, and his name is Abubakar Kamara. I just like saying that name for whatever reason. What are your thoughts about this signing?
Well, it's long overdue, I must say so. It's about time Fulham signed a striker. And I like the look of this one. It's a young striker. You know, he scored 11 goals in the second division in France last season, if I'm right in thinking that. So it's an interesting one. I know Tony Khan, they have metrics for all the different leagues on the continents, and they have different ratings on it to use with the stats. So obviously someone in a third division in, I don't know, the Czech Republic might score 50 goals in a season, and his stats might look amazing, but then they'll measure it up against how strong the league is, and that will bring that kind of like a handicap in golf. It will bring his scores down. So obviously this lad has stood out, and I do like the look of him. He's got pace, which is important in this league. You know, any striker with pace is going to scare defenders, and a young lad coming over to England at the age of 22, he's going to be looking to really make his mark, because at the end of the day, although everyone wants him to do well with Fulham, he's seeing it as a stepping stone to the Premier League. If he doesn't get there with Fulham, he's seeing it as a stepping stone. He's going to be in the eye of a lot of big clubs now because he's playing in the English second division. So I think he's going to be really chomping at the bit to get started with Fulham, and he could be a very, very shrewd signing.
I'm excited to see him play. I've only seen video, and I've read some things about him, and it's been fairly positive. We'll see what he can bring. And what I've been reading, a lot has to do with his pace. And I think that could fit in really well, Ryan, with how Fulham play. You know, I think that they still need a Chris Martin type of striker, but I think Kamara, based on what I've read and what I've watched, he might fit in pretty well.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because if you have Kamara up front with, I don't know, say, Aluko on one side and Aiete on the other, that's a front three that's quite frightening. You have the skill and flair of Aluko, the pace of Kamara, and then you've got both of them put together with Aiete. So that would be a really interesting balance. And I think it might change the way Fulham play, because they've played with that false nine a lot of last season when Chris Martin wasn't there, and it was quite fluid. And now you've got the out-and-out striker. You're going to use his pace to get in and behind defenders. So I'm looking quite forward to seeing how that comes up. And with Tom Kearney sitting in midfield, we know how good his passing range is and how good his eye is for a ball. If Kamara can see the channels to run into, Kearney will pick him out. So I think we're going to see a fair few one-on-ones with Kamara on goal this season, I think. And hopefully he's got the finishing to finish him off.
Absolutely. And listen, I've seen some of that on his highlights on YouTube, like most Fulham supporters. I've watched a good amount of YouTube video, and I've seen that. So That's what I'm hoping that we're going to see from Abubakar Kamara. All right, let's now talk about, I think, a very key signing, and that was bringing back Tomas Kalas from Chelsea on loan for another season. However, he signed an extension with Chelsea, which is interesting as well. Talk about the signing of Kalas on loan.
Yeah, so the signing of a new contract, this is standard Chelsea business for every single one of their signings this summer. I think every single one who's gone out on loan has signed a new deal. And that's just good business, really, by Chelsea. They're not going to lose anyone on a free transfer after the end of a loan deal. What they're doing is they're protecting their investments. They're saying, yeah, you go out on loan, you have another good loan season. If someone wants to buy you, they're going to pay premium price for you. And it's just good business by Chelsea. It's clever business. It's not what you want to see for players, you know, signing their lives away at a club they're never going to play for. But that's the kind of world we live in at the moment. But speaking about Kalas at Fulham, I think that was such an important signing and bringing him back. Last season, we saw how good Kalas was. He's one of the best championship centre-backs there is. He looks in physical peak at the moment. I'd say we interviewed him after the game in Wolfsburg, and you can tell he's been training with Chelsea's first team all pre-season. You know, his arms do look considerably bigger. He looks a lot fitter than he did at the end of last season. And he looks ready to go, and I think we saw that against Wolfsburg. He looked like he was glad to be back, and I think he can't wait to get out there against Norwich and hopefully lead Fulham to promotion again. Hopefully lead Fulham to promotion this season. But he's a key signing. Fulham needs centre backs. They still need to improve in the centre back department. I think that it's still quite, the quality's still not quite there. But Kalas and Ream, those two together were a big part of the end of last season. They look like they connected, and I think that's going to be important this season again.
I agree, and I'm on record as saying I think that they need another center back, and I hope that they do bring in one more. I do like Raymond Kalas, but definitely want another option. That's just me talking. I know that they brought in Marcelo Diallo as well, but I think they need another one. All right, let's now talk about another Chelsea loan, and that's Lucas Piazon. He comes back. Thoughts on bringing him back?
I mean, that was another one that makes sense, isn't it? He did well last season until that injury at Cardiff kind of impeded his progress towards the end of the season. He never really made it back into the team, but that was no fault of his own. That was how well the rest of the team were doing in that run-in. So I think it's a clever signing. You know, Piazon likes Djukanovic. Djukanovic likes Piazon. He brings something in the attacking midfield role that Fulham, you know, they need. He's a flair player. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing how well he does this season. He knows the club, so it's not going to take any time for him to settle back in because he was there last season. So it's just a good bit of business again, I think, bringing Piazon back, and it made perfect sense for Fulham and for Piazon himself.
Okay, I'm all for bringing back Piazon. We need the depth, and I think he could do a job just like he did last season. I think it's a positive move for bringing back. All right, let's now talk about a player. I'm going to bring you back to the last time you were on. You called this situation a minefield. You did, and you actually rated it a 2 out of 10. So I think you're happy that you got this one a little bit wrong. This is Ryan Sessegnon. Ryan Sessegnon ends up signing a brand new contract with Fulham. Obviously, it's his first contract. So thoughts on Ryan Sessegnon coming back to Fulham instead of going elsewhere?
I'm delighted he stayed at Fulham. You know, I did rate it a 2 out of 10. Everything was pointing towards him leaving. You know, the contract had been on the table. It hadn't been signed. When you've got clubs like Tottenham snooping around for you, anyone's going to say, well, you know, Tottenham, you're going to go there, especially with the record they've got of young players. But, you know, he's got such a mature head on his shoulders that I think he's made the right choice. A lot of young people his age these days will go to a Premier League club. They jump at the chance. That's just the world we live in.
Right.
But Sessegnon's proven that he's not like everyone else. He wants to play football. He knows the best chance he's going to get at playing regular football is at Fulham. Think, if he leaves at the end of this contract, he'll be, I don't know, 19, 20 years old. He could have already played over 100 games in the Championship at that level. That is quite frightening to think that there's 24-year-olds that haven't played that much in the Championship. So it was a really, really good deal for Sessegnon and a really good deal for Fulham, you know. They're going to continue developing their talent. It's also a message to players in the youth team now saying, you know, if you're good enough, it doesn't matter what age you are, you're going to get a chance in the first team. And that can only be good for the youth department and the recruits they can bring into the youth team there as well. So I'm delighted Ryan Sessegnon signed a new contract. I'm sure everyone's delighted. I can't wait to see him playing more regularly this season.
I'm there with you, and it's funny because we're talking about youth. I want to mention another player to go along with that, that I think is flying underneath the radar, and that's Theo Eden. He played very well for England, and I think he has a bright future. I don't think enough people are talking about the signing of Theo Eden.
Yeah, that's another good one to sign down to a new contract. I saw some of his games for England. He did look very much at home in the middle of that park. He's got a good eye for a pass. I saw him against West Ham as well out in Austria, wherever they're out training, and he looked at home in that midfield. You know, he could turn on a sixpence and then whack a ball out to Aiyite and get him in behind. And for such a young lad, you know, again, he's testament to Fulham's youth department and how they go about their business there. He really does look like he's going to be a good player. But the important thing is with these players, although Ryan Sessegnon is probably going to play most weeks, it's important that you don't rush players if they're not ready. So despite Theo Eden looking very good this summer, there's no harm in putting him in the under-23s and letting him continue his development at that rate. Because if you rush someone, sometimes it can backfire on you. Sometimes it's not going to have the effect you want it to. So there's no harm in having him play another season of under-23 football and play, I don't know, Capital One League Cups and an FA Cup game here or there. Have him in with the squad, have him training with the squad. It's going to do no harm. And eventually he'll get his chance in the first team, and then it's up to him to take it.
Absolutely. And what's interesting about him is that he's actually really shined in central midfield, but he also has played left back.
Yeah, and he looked good at left back. And I think, again, at a young age, players at 16, 17, they don't necessarily always end up playing the position they played then when they're 24, 25. So it's important, I think, for young players to play a variety of positions and get them used to playing in those positions, which is what they've done with Theo Eden, and they've done it with Ryan Sessegnon as well. He's playing left back and he's playing left wing at the end of last season. So it's just, I think it's important that they get a range of positions because they could turn out to be better going forwards as they age and develop than they are defending. So him playing left back, him playing in midfield, him playing left wing or wherever, there's no harm in it. It's not gonna harm him, certainly. So I think it's only good that he plays more positions and gets more experience in these positions.
I agree, and also gives options and cover for Jokanović that he can put him in a couple different places. All right,
exactly, and there's no harm in having depth and strength, is there?
Absolutely not. I think that they need that. This is a light team, and it's good that you have Eden as an option if you need it. All right, Ryan, let's move on. Let's talk about a player that I've actually called the best signing in the championship. There have been some huge signings in the championship. I know it's a re-signing, but if Fulham lost this player, I think this is going to be a massive step back. So to have their captain coming back, I think, is huge. Let's talk about the signing, re-signing of Tom Kearney.
Yeah, this one's massive. He's the man that makes Fulham tick. He's the metronome in that midfield, as I like to call him. If he's not ticking quite right, Fulham aren't ticking quite right. So having Tom Kearney re-sign and show his commitment to Fulham was massive. It was as big as Ryan Sessegnon signing. You know, you've got the best young project in Ryan Sessegnon in the country, I'd say. And then you've got Tom Kearney, who's one of the best midfielders in the championship. And everyone wanted him. Everyone saw how good he was. Everyone saw how important he was to Fulham last season. So for him to say, despite losing out on promotion to the Premier League, and despite being 26 now, which he's in the middle of his career, you know, he's in the prime. Most players would be like, I need to be playing Premier League football here. He knows he can get that at Fulham. So signing on again has shown commitment to Fulham. It's shown a lot about him and what kind of player he is. It's not going to do him any harm, certainly. So to have another season of watching Tom Kearney is just, it's fantastic for the fans, really, because he is such a good player. He is one of the best midfielders in the league. And he just makes Fulham tick. If he wants to go one way, he'll go one way with him. If he wants to go the other way, he'll go the other way with him. We saw last season just how instrumental he is with some of those goals he played and some of those passes he played in. So, yeah, having Tom Kearney, I'd say it's one of the best re-signings in the league. One of the most important things Fulham could have done this season was re-sign Tom Kearney, and they've done that. So despite all the moans and groans about transfers and not coming in, I think tying down Sessegnon and Kearney is important. And going back to Djukanovic's comments after the Wolfsburg game, he said he was very happy because Sessegnon right. and Kearney signed. So I think it was important as well in keeping Djukanovic happy to have those two players signed. And Tony Khan delivered on that.
He did. And what's interesting, I was on another podcast and they asked me about Kearney and Sessegnon. And the question was, does this show intent by Fulham, the way that they've signed these two players? And I said, absolutely. So I'm going to ask you the same thing. Is this a signal to the fans, to other teams, the intent of Fulham.
I think so, yeah. It shows that Fulham mean business and they still want to get promoted. And I think it does, to a degree, show that Tony Khan knows what he's doing. He knows how important Sessegnon and Kearney were to this club. So to try and sit them down and tie them up to these new long-term contracts was always important. And I think, as I said, those two signings were some of the most important business that Fulham could do this season. I mean, Fulham could have signed three strikers and two defenders. But if they'd lost Kearney, they lost the impetus in the midfield to use those players. So showing that they could still keep hold of these players despite losing out on promotion with some big clubs sniffing around them sends out a message to other players like, look, come here, play for us. We're going to get promoted to the Premier League.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because I think of a player like Oliver Norwood. Oliver Norwood's coming from Brighton with all that experience from Brighton winning promotion. I think that's something that he's going to be able to add to Fulham is that experience. But I think of someone like him. Maybe he doesn't think of Fulham without the team pretty much intact, except for Scott Malone, which we'll be talking about in just a second, and Chris Martin. He might see what everyone else is seeing. This is a team with intent to get back to the Premier League, and why not be a part of it?
Exactly, and Norwood's got the experience of getting promoted. Okay, so he played a bit part with them. He still was in the squad. He still was around. He still saw the pressure of having a title running. And that's going to be vital to Fulham because they don't really have that experience. They don't have that experience of getting promoted. So have someone in the squad that knows how to do that and been there and done that. Experience is so vital. You can never take it away from anyone. So I think that's going to be important as well as these footballing skills.
I totally agree. And I actually brought that up on a prior show that I think Norwood brings not just his skill, but his experience. And I think that's just something that Fulham need both. They need skill and they need some experience. All right. You've already mentioned him a little bit, but let's talk about Ibrahima Cisse. It sounds like you were impressed by him.
I was, yeah. I was impressed at how he held himself in that midfield. He's playing in the deeper role in front of the midfield. He's allowing Norwood and Johansson to do a bit of roaming. And although he's also another young lad, I think he's 23, 24, he also looks very experienced. You know, he knew where to be at all times on the pitch. He knew if they were attacking, he knew when to go to the man, when to drop off the man, when to sit back. I was really impressed with him. His positioning as well. His positioning was very, very good. And he wasn't scared of a tackle. He put himself about a bit. And what was a surprisingly physical pre-season friendly, I think Wolfsburg put themselves about a bit and were quite a physical team. So Cisse in that middle of midfield, he stood up to the challenge. I was very, very impressed with him, actually.
Okay, excellent. All right, one other player I just want to mention briefly, Marcelo Diallo. I believe he came on briefly. I've watched him a little bit in some of these friendlies. He looks like a big kid, looks a little raw. So thoughts on bringing in this, I guess you could say, pretty big centre-back?
Yeah, well, Fulham needed depth in the centre-back part, in the centre-back department. And obviously, the recruitment department saw Marcelo. They saw a raw player playing in the second division of the Spanish league. And he must have ticked some boxes. For me personally, the jury's still out on him. He looks a bit, as you said, raw. He looks quite raw. He doesn't look
like
awkward.
His
positioning
is awkward a good word?
He looks awkward, yeah. Yeah, that's a good word for it. He doesn't look like his positional sense is there yet. You know, he doesn't know whether to go to the man, whether to drop off the man. And I think for Mario Gomez's second goal, maybe, he didn't know where Gomez was at all. You could see as the ball dropped onto Gomez's head, there was a look of fear in Marcelo's face as he turned around and realised, maybe I should have been 2 yards back and I would have actually been able to feel where the striker was. So I think for me, the jury is still out on Marcelo and whether or not he'll have the impact that people want him to have. I still think Djukanovic certainly still wants another centre-back. He said as much. He wants more quality in that department, which is saying a lot, seeing as he's got Kalas, Ream, Sigurdsson, Maddle and Marcelo there. So, yeah, I think the jury's still out on Marcelo for me. We'll have to see how he goes in a competitive fixture.
Okay, very good. All right, let's now talk briefly about the players that have left. Let's start with Yothabed. This one's a little bit of a disappointment. I think you mentioned that on the last show that you were on with me, that you had hoped to have seen him. And, well, he's now moved on. Thoughts of Yothabed going? It looks like Fulham got a decent fee for him, though.
They did, yeah. They did well to get the money they got for him. I think I might be right in thinking that they got a bit of profit for him, which is fantastic considering that he played a very, very small part at Fulham, and there's no real reason why Fulham should have had any right to a profit on him, but they seem to have done that, which is great business for them. And I don't think you can't really miss Jules Abed. He didn't really do anything for Fulham. He had very little impact before he was loaned out to Spain. So there's very little left to be said on Hozabed. He's not going to be missed, I'm afraid.
I don't think he will. I just wanted to see him play for Fulham, and unfortunately we just didn't see that. It didn't work out. Wish him the best, and now Fulham have that money to use on potentially new players. All right, let's talk about a little bit of a surprise for me. I wasn't expecting this one to happen. Scott Malone goes to Huddersfield Town. It looks like Fulham potentially got a good fee for him. But what are your thoughts about Malone leaving?
It's a blow to Fulham. It's like, I'm not going to hold anything back on that one. It's a blow when you lose someone who was played as well as Scott Malone did last season. It's a blow because he was one of their best players, especially in the run out. But if a player wants to play Premier League football, and he says as much, then there's nothing you can really say to do or do to stop him. If he wants to leave, he wants to leave. At the end of the day, you've got to look at the business side behind it. They swapped Jazz Richards for Scott Malone. So essentially, they've got a ton of money for Jazz Richards, which if you'd said this time last season that would be happening, you probably would have laughed a little bit. It's great business by Fulham to do the swap deal for Scott Malone and then get this money for him. So he's going to be a miss. He needs to be replaced still, I think. At the moment, we've got Sessegnon playing at left back, but I'd like to see Sessegnon played further forward. I think that's where he's best. I think although he's a good player, he's still a little bit frail defensively, and having him further forward pretty much eliminates that frailty. And again, strength and depth. They need at least one more fullback to keep that strength and depth. Dennis Doyle looks like he's going to stay now, which is good. Yep. And with Scott Malone leaving, they can't really afford to lose Dennis Doyle. So he adds that strength and depth as well. But yeah, it's disappointing to see players like Scott Malone leave. But at the end of the day, if they want to play Premier League football, you have to say good luck to them and let them do it.
Yeah, listen, I wish him all the best. I thought he did a decent job, especially going forward. Defensively, at times, maybe a little suspect. But going forward, he was very good, and he gave Fulham everything that he had. And I just wish him the best at Huddersfield Town. All right, let's talk about this other player. I'm actually disappointed by this one because I thought that he had huge promise, and it looks like he's already making an impact on his new team, and that's Lasse Vigen Christensen. What are your thoughts about Fulham letting him go?
I'm the same as you. I'm quite disappointed to see him leave. I was quite looking forward to seeing what kind of impact he could have had in midfield this season. I do think there was a place for him in the squad, and as we've seen from his new move, he's scoring goals over there, so we knew he had it in him, and he had a good spell at Burton as well. So I am kind of disappointed he didn't get his chance at Fulham. But if Djukanovic doesn't think he's going to have a place in the squad, especially with Cisse coming in and Norwood coming in, then you've got Kearney, McDonald, Johansson. Realistically, how much football is he going to play? Not that much. But I'm like you. I'm quite disappointed. I would have liked to see what he'd done. If it didn't work up until the winter break, you could have moved him on then. At least you would have had the half the season to see what he could have done, but it wasn't to be, and you've got to wish him the best of luck out in his new club in Denmark.
Yeah, I wish him all the best, and like I said, he's already made an impact, which makes things difficult. I want to see him do well. I just wanted to see him do well with Fulham. He was dealing with injuries with Fulham, and I actually thought this was going to be his opportunity to make an impact some way with Fulham off the bench, and you have all these matches. I thought maybe he could really get into the midfield three at some point, but they decided to move on, and he moves on, and another player that I wish him all the best. I'm just disappointed by it. All right, Ryan, let's now take a look back. I believe we did this in June, your top three positions of need, so this is basically just an update. Number three, we've just been talking about fullback options. Let's look at that. Is it still number three?
Yeah, for me at the moment, it is still number three because you've got the three fullbacks in there. Dennis Doyle can play right or left back. So that does offer some cover there. Ryan Fredericks is going to be the first choice right back. I think he'll continue his form. He's a solid right back. You know, there's no need to replace him or anything like that. So I think he's going to be the right back. And we've got Ryan Sessegnon playing left back now. He signed his new contract. He's been given the number three shirt as well. And traditionally, that's a left-back shirt. So we'll probably be seeing him as the first-choice left-back, probably being swapped with Dennis Odoi at stages when Ryan Sessegnon needs a break because he is still only 17 and rest is extremely important at that age. But I would like to see another fullback come in just to add a little bit more strength and depth there. I don't know whether it's a priority at the moment. I think other positions are more prioritised in my eyes, but I would still like to see a fullback come in by the end of August.
Let me ask you, I've seen a little speculation the last couple of days. Again, this is just pure speculation of Joe Bryan from Bristol City. Would that be a player that you think could be a fit? I'm not, you know, and again, this is just speculation on social media and I believe on a website that there could be a couple of teams interested in potentially Fulham as one of them. Would that type of player be a good fit?
Yeah, I mean, it's the type of player you want to look for. He's good going forward. He's quite good defensively. I think it's not Fulham's style to take players from the Championship. I think if we've looked at anything, the only player they've signed from the Championship this season is Oliver Norwood.
Right.
Most of their signings tend to be from the continent. That's where the stats model seems to send the recruitment department. So I think if we're going to see another fullback, we may see it from the continent, from like the French division, the Belgian division, one of those divisions again, I think Fulham might look to go to. But I've heard nothing about that. It's just my personal view.
Okay, excellent there. All right, let's now go to center back. I think you've already said that you think that they need some more depth. And like you mentioned, I think even Savisa said that to you. So let's talk about the center back positions.
Yeah, center back for me. I think now that Kamara has signed, I would swap center back with striker in terms of priority.
Okay.
I think for me, Fulham desperately need another centre back because, as I said, they've got Kallas in now and they've got Ream, who's going to be their first choice pairing. If anything happens to them, I don't think Djukanovic feels that Sigurdsson or Madul are up to being regular Championship players. And as I said, the jury's still out on Marcelo. I don't know if he could also be a regular Championship starter. And if he was, I think that would be a very weak link in Fulham's chain type thing. So for me, another centre back coming in with some quality in his arsenal with some Championship know-how maybe is very important for them going forward hip from here.
Okay, so for you right now, that's the number one priority.
That would be number one priority for me now. Yeah, go out and find another centre back to add some depth and add some quality into that defensive partnership.
Okay. Well, let's now move on. Let's talk about the one that you had at number one before, and that was striker. Now, like we've already talked about, they brought in Kamara. I actually think they still need another one, Ryan. So
yeah,
what are your thoughts
you.
About this? Listen, I still see speculation with Diego Rolan. I don't know what to make of that. Where in the world does Diego Rolan keeps going on? And so what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, I agree with you firstly that they do need to sign another striker. I said when I came on last time that they need to sign two strikers as a matter of priority. They've now got the one striker in Kamara. He adds that something else. We know Woodrow is going to play a part this season. He's got his squad number. He's been used sparingly in pre-season, but I think he's going to be the third choice striker anyway. I think they've got the two strikers now. They do need a third. They need a second choice striker. Someone, as you mentioned earlier, in the form of Chris Martin.
Right.
Someone that Fulham can go to change things up.
Exactly.
Someone who can hold the ball up, who's a big presence, who bullies other teams type things. Kamara is going to be that flair player. He's going to be that one that the balls go in behind, that he uses his pace to get behind. If that's not going well, if a team manages to snuff out plan A, you need plan B and C. And I think a big striker, someone that you can go a bit more direct to, someone that Chris Martin should have been,
exactly,
is that player. And I think they need to do their best to try and get that player in. Maybe not in terms of priority,
right,
but still before the transfer window closes.
All right, very good. Listen, I'm going to throw out a name that I started seeing speculation at the beginning of the transfer window. You've already mentioned you don't think that Fulham will look to the Championship for a player like this, but maybe they will. Jordan Hugel, I think I'm saying, is it Hugel or Hugel with Preston North End? A big physical striker. Would that be someone like a Chris Martin?
Yeah, that like Hugel was linked with Fulham at the start of the season. I don't think he's going anywhere, and I don't think Fulham will be signing him, if I'm honest.
Okay.
I think that ship has sailed. But yeah, a player like that would be someone you're looking at, someone that can hold the ball up, someone that knows English football, someone that can really get you out of a tight spot. That's the type of player you'd need. And Chris Martin should have been that player last season. That's what he was signed for. But for one reason or another, it just didn't happen for Chris Martin. And he seems to be happy as Larry that he's back at Derby now. So I'm sure we'll see that Chris Martin this season that should have been at Fulham last season.
Oh, boy.
That big physical striker that's going to pull Derby out of a few holes. But Fulham need to look elsewhere and need to look for that signing. But there's no pressure and there's no rush now. Now that they've got Kamara. So okay. They've got a bit of time, but the season does start on
Saturday.
But they still
need that player, though, Ryan. We're both in agreement. They need another option. They need a different type of striker.
Yeah, 100% they need a different type of striker. Like I said, if plan A fails, you've got a plan B of the fourth striker. If that fails, you need to go a bit more direct. You need someone up there to bully and put themselves about a bit, especially in the Championship.
Okay, excellent. All right, Ryan, a couple more things. Let's now do just a real quick preview of Norwich City. You know, get ready for this match. I'll be doing a preview of this match later on in the week, but just definitely want your thoughts on it. You've already shared me that you were a little bit concerned for Fulham in this match, so let's talk about Norwich City heading into this match.
Yeah, I am a bit concerned, to be honest. I'll always say your first game of the season, you don't want to face a newly promoted team away from home. That's always a no-no. And you never want to play someone who's an unknown quantity. And I think Norwich City are a bit of an unknown quality this season with their new manager.
Yep.
You don't really know what you're going to expect from him. You don't know what kind of style of football he's going to bring, what kind of brand he wants, what he wants his players to do in a competitive game. And they've had a really, really good pre-season. They haven't lost yet this pre-season. So they're a bit of an unknown quantity, really. And we know what happened at the end of last season when we went up there and beat them 3-1 at their place with 10 men. So I think they'll have looked at that. Most of the team, the Fulham team, still here. I think I'm right in thinking that it's only Scott Malone that's not there anymore. So,
Right. Yeah,
it's going to be an interesting game. I don't really know what to expect from Norwich. You know, they might be like Huddersfield were last season with this German influence, or it might take them a bit of time to buy into the manager's new philosophy. But it'll be an interesting game. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw, to be honest.
Well, there was a draw when they played last season, and the only other player I think that was involved was Chris Martin. He was sent off in that match.
Yeah, that one as well, yeah.
I just want to mention that. I do want to mention this as well, because I completely forgot about this. Norwich City is actually going to be without Stephen Naismith, and I think this is huge, losing him. He was suspended last season, and he will be suspended for this match. Thoughts on his loss?
Yeah, Stephen Naismith will be a big loss, but I'm looking at Alex Pritchard as the big loss for Norwich. I thought he was the class act against Norwich last season. I think he's a class player. He's the one, like Kearney pulls strings in Fulham's midfield, Pritchard pulls strings in Norwich one. I think him missing this game is going to be a big loss to Norwich, and I'm glad he's not playing, because Pritchard is a good player, and his ball for Cameron Drum's goal against Fulham when they played it was a thing of beauty. It was absolutely perfect. And he just wants to get on the ball and play football and thrust forward. So I think them possibly missing him would be more important than missing Stephen Naismith, despite Stephen Naismith having more experience and know-how.
No, listen, it's a good point. That was going to lead me to ask you about injuries, because both clubs are dealing with injuries heading into this match. So could this be about who's more healthy for this match?
It's a weird thing to be talking about at the first game of the season.
I know.
Who's going to be more healthy? It's a very, very strange position that we find ourselves in here. But it could well be that's the case. Which teams have the fitter players? And it could come down to that. Again, like it's a completely strange thing to be talking about this on August 1st. Who's got the least injuries? Because you might be coming out of pre-season fit and ready. But Fulham are having their troubles at the moment. And so are Norwich by the looks of it. So it could come down to injuries, but you know, I think both sides have recruited fairly well. They've still got 11 men on that pitch each, so it will have an effect on it for sure. But if you're looking at both McDonald and Kearney back for this side, I think McDonald might be all right. I think it might be a push for Kearney. Cabano might be all right, hopefully. I think if you've got those two in, I think you're looking a lot more comfortable than we were on Saturday.
Okay. I know it's early. Are you going to go for a prediction? You already said you could see this being a draw.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
Okay. I understand that, my friend. All right. Okay, before we end this show, let's now talk about predictions. Actually, there's an article today, the Championship 2017-2018 big preview. Experts tip Fulham for promotion push with QPR back for relegation battle. This is actually on Get West London. The article is from Tom Moore, but there are a bunch of predictions, a bunch of information on all the teams. You did Fulham, and you actually give your predictions for the top three, the three teams to be promoted. and then also the three teams to be relegated. Let's start with your three teams to be promoted. Who are they?
Well, I went with Middlesbrough. I mean, the team they've assembled, the money they've spent, if they're not getting promoted, the manager needs to be sacked immediately because they've spent stupid money and they've got great players. That should be a recipe for automatic promotion. So I went with Middlesbrough. I like the look of Derby. I was impressed with them when we went to Pride Park last season.
Yep.
And I think they've also recruited great well. Manager. So I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, and a good manager too. I wouldn't be surprised if Derby were promoted as well. And of course, I had to go for Fulham. You know, I've got to back the team I cover. I think they can do it. They've got a good manager. They've got good players. So I think they'll go one further.
Oh, boy. Playoff final. You have it as a playoff final. I don't know if my heart can handle that, Ryan.
I don't think mine can either, mate.
Okay, excellent. We have to end with this. There was a little bit of a surprise for me with your three teams relegated. I didn't have one of these teams. I actually, just so you know, I had my three teams as Millwall, Burton Albion, and Bolton were my three. Share your three. And one I think will make Fulham supporters happy.
Yeah, so I went with Burton, Barnsley, and QPR.
When I saw the QPR, I'm like, oh, that's going to make many Fulham supporters very happy. Why did you go with QPR? I'm curious.
It's the whole ethos around the club at the moment. You know, last season, I think they were very lucky not to get relegated. I think I'm right in thinking if Fulham scored their penalties against them, they would have been relegated. So I just, they haven't recruited very well in my eyes. You know, they did not look a good football team last season. I think Ian Holloway is the wrong manager for them. I don't think he's got the know-how in a championship and as it is now to make a winning team. You know, they haven't recruited very well. Josh Scone was a good signing, but apart from that, they don't look a good football side. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get into a rut. They've got a terrible start. I don't think they've got the players to get them out of it, and it just could go into freefall.
Okay, excellent. All right. That's very interesting. It wouldn't bother me at all if QPR got relegated. I got to be honest with you. So when I saw that, that actually got me a little bit excited. I'm glad that you actually believe that. And now that you've explained that, I understand why you went with QPR to be one of the three teams to be relegated. All right, my friend. Listen, thank you so much for doing this. Before we go, what will you be writing this week with a lead up to the match on Saturday for Fulham against Norwich City?
We've got most of the preview pieces going up. I still got a bit left with Callas when we spoke to him on Saturday, so that'll be going up at some stage. We've got the manager's press conference on Friday, so I'm sure there'll be a few interesting lines added out with Slavica. We're just going to be building up to the championship opener,
it's
really.
It's never boring with him, Ryan. It's never boring.
Never boring. It's great having a manager like Slavica because you always look forward to the pressers.
Okay, well, I recommend everyone going to Get West London to read everything that Ryan writes. Ryan, you're doing an excellent job covering Fulham, and I look forward to your coverage this season.
Thank you. I look forward to providing it.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for joining me, but it is time to go. For Ryan O'Donovan from Get West London, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.